Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. After every Bucks-Celtics game, we will have the Pick and Save Pro Hoops post-game show for you on this station. We do not know when those shows are going to air because we currently do not know when these games are going to be played. Game one will be in Milwaukee. When? We've got no idea. Much speculation out there that Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel does know and is sitting on it. Matt, when do the Bucks play?
You know, I just can't share that. I just can't tell anyone.
Oh, wow.
Don't be saving it for the big show or something else.
You're our insider.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I am on Bill Michaels tomorrow. No, I have no idea when this game is. I literally have no idea. It could be as late as Monday. It's the first day that he's on the schedule. Like, the latest the second round can start. They can move it up to the weekend. I would expect that they would move it up to the weekend. The Bucks would probably want to move it up to the weekend. But as of right now, you know, that still isn't set in stone. It's not figured out. Saturday or Sunday night would make the most sense to me. But I think the bigger question is, what's your favorite Bradley Center memory?
Oh, that's a good question.
Jeez,
Matt.
You're turning it on us now.
That's a good question. And again, I cannot answer that because as long as the structure is still somewhat standing,
well, I think
there are still memories to be made.
Didn't they took another piece of it down yesterday?
It's just another piece of the puzzle, Chuck.
Yeah.
There are still memories to be made.
So what is the NBA waiting on? The series to end? I mean, some of these are ending. Some ended last night. We got the Eastern Conference all lined up here. So maybe would today we get an answer on that?
I think we could. I think now that they have the combination of all the matchups, they know with the hockey where the Bruins and Maple Leafs sort out, which obviously affected the arena availability of the Celtics and the Raptors potentially. Obviously now it still affects the Celtics. Now you can kind of see how that all shakes out. We have more clarity in the Western Conference with two teams having advanced. We don't know the matchups yet, but we have a pretty decent idea based on the way those series are going. So it all comes down to TV networks and arena scheduling and, you know, kind of just figuring out where and when these games are going to be. And so there's a lot of moving pieces, and I'm sure that they're, you know, almost done being able to figure that out. But they are taking their dear sweet time.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we're going to get into the Bucks-Celtics series in a second. Quickly to look back at the Pistons series, there's a lot of talk, and maybe, you know, deservedly so, that the first round is just too long, especially with how the East looks this year. We're seeing some good series out West, one that could go seven at this point, some going five. But you had the Bucks easily advance, you had the Celtics easily advance, the Sixers and Raptors both advancing after dropping one on that first weekend. Do these series need to be shorter? Is that something that the NBA should look into? I know for you, kind of a pro-con, it kept you away from your family on Easter, but you got to enjoy a ball game. I saw, watch the Tigers play over in Detroit and stay an extra night in Detroit. Should these series be shorter, or is this just, it's already expanded because of the money, they're going to keep it that way?
Yeah, I think they'll probably keep it that way. I think one issue with making it shorter, you know, at least right now, each team is guaranteed two home games, and that means money for each of those teams, and no team is going to, you know, spite itself and say, oh, no, we make the playoffs, we don't want money. You know, so I think there's a lot to it. I think it's also entity TV program. So you want to guarantee a certain number of programming hours to your TV networks. So you know there's at least four games for each series. So you're, you know, that those hours accumulate, and those series have the potential to go longer. You know, when we have a situation like this where, you know, there's two sweeps and two five-game series in the East, it seems like it's too long. You know, we knew those teams were better the whole time. In the West, it's been a little more interesting. But still, you know, we had a couple of five-game series, and the other two are going, you know, maybe six, maybe seven. So I don't think it's going to be anything that'll change soon, just because it doesn't really benefit the NBA to change it.
One more question on the scheduling for this weekend. If you had to guess, what would you say? Sunday night?
I think Saturday night makes the most sense.
Saturday night?
They're going to push it up just because both teams have been off for so long that maybe you try and get the series going, and you can start Raptors, Sixers on Sunday, and those teams would have a reasonable amount of rest as well. But you know, that's literally just me trying to make sense of
sure.
a bunch of craziness.
So you're thinking Saturday at 6:37,
4 o'clock?
I'm just kidding.
Two?
We're done.
This series, okay, with the actual game itself. Now the Celtics, you know, they want to play at a slower pace than the Bucks. The Bucks want to up-tempo that. I think it's a question out of, you know, who's going to play whose game. Will the Bucks have to play at a slower tempo? Will the Celtics have to speed it up and play at Milwaukee's tempo?
You know, I think that depends on the Bucks' defense. If they can consistently get stops, and they can then off of misses, they can push and they can push in transition. They can get Giannis and Bledsoe and all those guys, you know, out and running and really, you know, dictating the pace. If they are struggling to get stops, they're going to play a little bit slower. They're going to have a little bit more trouble with Boston being able to set their defense and you know, kind of close off the driving lanes a little bit more. So I think that if the Bucks can play the level of defense that they have all year and be able to force the Celtics into tough, contested mid-range shots, three-pointers above the break, all that type of stuff, then they can give themselves every opportunity to get out and run. And if they can get out and run, they can really set the tone on offense and get rolling there. It might be hard for the Celtics to keep up.
I think there's a lot of people, as we talked to Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that especially I don't want to spend so much time on the national, you know, conversation, but it seems like the Celtics did what the Bucks were maybe expected to do. And then the Bucks did what the Celtics were expected to do, to be the number one seed in the East and to win 60 games. And so when people predict the series, they think a lot of, well, I still want to be right about the Celtics, so I'm going to take the Celtics, so on and so forth. There was a quote from you that you quoted Jason Kidd like two Christmases ago after a game about how they're still a young team and we got to stop worrying about the big three. And it kind of circulated around a little bit on the internet yesterday. If you take yourself back to that day and then you kind of look where you are now, how surprised are you that they are this good, that they are the Eastern Conference favorites, that they are the home court advantage team, that they are the number one seed? Because back then, this seemed, while hopeful, like there was no way this was actually going to occur.
Yeah, I saw that quote yesterday. I think it unearthed itself, or people found it on Twitter after Jason Kidd interviewed for the Lakers job. And as I recall, that came after a loss to the Bulls, like the day after Christmas last year, or in 2017. And it was their second loss to the Bulls in like 11 days. And as we know, the Bulls aren't very good. So, you know, we were talking to him about, hey, like, what's the deal? And he kind of just said, hey, they're young, big three, buck three, whatever. You know,
EKG, KBJ, all those things we were coming up with.
Right. And so, you know, he's like, oh, they're young, it's going to have to go through it and whatever. And he said that a lot over the last couple seasons. And it always kind of just rang a little hollow. It's like, yeah, I guess. But they've been to the playoffs. They've been together. I remember asking Chris Middleton at one point, like, hey, like, we've been talking about you guys being young for a couple of years now. Like, when does it stop? And he was like, I don't think we're young anymore. not in as many words, but that's basically what it was. And so just to see the way the Bucks have, you know, turned a corner. It's not all the same players. It's a decent amount of the same players, but it's not all the same players. But the in terms of the main guys, it's still Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe and Brogdon, just kind of 1 year older, 1 year together. And I think they believe that they had more talent than the Celtics last year. They thought they should have won that series last year without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward. And so now, you know, to play with the consistency that they have this year, to really put it all together under Mike Budenholzer, has just been really impressive. I didn't see it coming. I thought they'd be around 50 wins, maybe a few wins more than 50, competing in that top half of the East, but not at the top of the East with 60 wins, and just absolutely dominant in the first round of the playoffs. And so you're right. If people were projecting this season, they probably would have expected Celtics-Bucks in the second round with Boston having home court advantage. But this season has gone very differently. The Bucks have had chemistry all year. The Celtics have had chemistry issues for most of it. And you know, now the Bucks have home court, and maybe that could be, you know, the difference in this time around.
That's a big series for Eric Bledsoe, among others. But Bledsoe, he had his problems with Terry Rozier. We all know about that from last year. But now, you know, he's got to step it up a little bit against Kyrie. How do you think he's going to do in that matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. Kyrie is a cook. He will get anybody and everybody. There are just certain plays where no one can stop him. He's just going to get that tough bucket. Bledsoe's going to need help, and you know he needs to stay in front of Kyrie as much as he possibly can. But in the Bucks system, there are going to be times where he's going to let him go and drop him off to Brook Lopez, drop him off to Ersan Ilyasova, whoever's in the paint at the time. And they're going to sink back, and if Kyrie can get his mid-range shot going, his floater going, you know that's going to be a problem for the Bucks, and they might have to go to more switching. But if he can't, if he's shooting, average or below average on those mid-range shots, on those floaters, the Bucks will be in position to get rebounds and be able to turn and run. So we've seen it a lot of times this year where point guards have. You know, if they get hot from the mid-range, I think of like Kemba Walker, I think C.J. McCollum, not a point guard, but in a similar situation. If you get hot for the mid-range against the Bucks, you can win. And so Bledsoe is going to have a tough task in front of him, and I think he's motivated after last year's playoffs to make good this year.
Talking with Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Matt _ Velasquez on Twitter, as we do every Wednesday at 8 here on Chuck and Winkler. Stat going around yesterday as well. The Celtics have outscored the Bucks by 28 points during the 44 minutes. Both Al Horford and Brook Lopez were on the court during the regular season. Now, I think the Bucks are using Lopez a little differently than maybe they did then. How do you expect that matchup to go? Horford is a guy that just scares the hell out of me as a Bucks fan. Kyrie scares me. Horford scares me. I see him popping so many threes, in my mind, in my visions, both historically and upcoming to the series. But I do like the Bucks in this series, and one of the big reasons for that is the play of Brook Lopez. How do you view that matchup between Brook and Al?
Yeah, the big issue is that I think a lot of those points, a lot of that plus-minus probably happened in the first game that these two teams played together, where the Bucks did not get out of their base defense. They just kept sticking with it, with Brook on pick and rolls, going back and sinking into the paint, and Horford would get the ball somewhere along the arc, and either he shot a three and made it probably about half the time, or he had a ton of space, and he's a really good playmaker, really good passer, and so he was able to find guys, and the Celtics made like 24 threes that night, just some crazy number. Definitely a franchise record. And so, in the Bucks, still in that game, were within a basket in the fourth quarter, despite all that. So, during points this season, the Bucks have shown a willingness to get out of that defense, to turn to switching, to trust Brook Lopez on guards and being isolated along the perimeter, and he's handled that generally pretty well. So, it'll be interesting to see how often the Celtics really force that issue. And how often the Bucks are willing to get out of their usual defense and switch things up in an effort to, shut off Al Horford as a playmaker in space.
All right, Matt, appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you next week, and maybe you'll see you this weekend if they still play this the series this weekend, or if they ever play it. We'll see this
week. Yeah, you haven't got an update in the 15 minutes we've been talking.
Because we assume the series is still going to happen.
You know, I have a whole bunch of texts directly from the league that I can't check because I'm talking to you guys.
All right. Well, let Bill know, and then they can break the news.
All right. Sounds good.
Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Well, there's two series that could wrap up tonight, and they probably will. I mean, Houston is hosting Utah. Utah won a token game the other night, but Houston's probably going to knock them off. Then Golden State, they're going to...
Game 5 money for Golden State. Bucks didn't go that route.
Well, thank goodness.
I was thinking conspiracy if they would have lost.
Well,
but
they got some rest here.
Game 5 money never happened.
But I think we will think Houston and Golden State is going to win. So you would guess maybe after tonight's game, or maybe the first thing in the morning tomorrow, we'll find out these matchups. Because then there will only be one series going on, and that's that Denver series.
I'd be so annoyed if the Bucks had to play tonight. Because the series is over. Like if Detroit would have won.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then what happens? What happened last night? Toronto back home.
Yep.
Destroy the Magic.
Yeah.
The Sixers embarrassing the Nets.
And it'd be an ass whipping at Fiserv tonight, too.
And it'd be the same thing here. So they get the rest. They get a couple of days that they can just chill, and that's good stuff. We'll talk more about the NBA playoffs, including a huge moment for our boy, Brian Anderson.
B.A.
Last night in the NBA. Yeah, screw the on-court stuff.
Yeah.
Big moment for our boy, B.A. last night in the NBA playoffs. You want to chill? You can do that with your family and friends at Perkins over the next couple of weeks. The Strawberry Freshtival is going on, where they have infused strawberries into as many items as possible. For breakfast, the fresh strawberry croissant French toast, the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters are available. Strawberries not just for breakfast. Try the fresh strawberry salad. Smoke pulled chicken, fresh strawberries, glazed walnuts, feta cheese on crisp garden greens. It's available at Perkins for you. It's available today. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, they've got you covered. Don't forget, kids eat free Tuesdays and Saturdays. Look ahead this weekend after 4 o'clock. You get one of those meals or any other, and then your kid eats free off the kids menu that's at Perkins. We'll come back. We'll hear a little from Malcolm Brogdon, who was on The Fan last night. We will also revisit B.A., NBA. That's what the BA stands for. Did you like that? I thought of that just now. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard! Are you kidding me?
How about that? Brian Anderson on the call. Damian Lillard, the game winner. I did not stay up for that game last night. I woke up to a text from my buddy that said, Lillard sucks. So I thought, oh no, what happened in that Trailblazer game? I see the highlight there. Oh no, he put up 50 and had the game winner. And the Portland Trailblazers advance. Brian Anderson on the call on TNT last night.
These first round playoff series, man, I'm just glad they're almost over, because most of them are just needless. I mean, and they're lopsided. But I will say, I'm surprised OKC went down in such a whimper in that series. How did they get beat just in 5 games? You're telling me Portland is that much better than OKC? They took them down in 5 games?
I took them to go to the Western Conference Finals, OKC.
I
thought that they would go on a little run. Obviously, Paul George has been maybe the best player on that team. Russell Westbrook, you know, he gets a lot of criticism for what he does in the playoffs, or more importantly, what he does not do. He had a big game the other night, but they couldn't deliver in any other game that series, and Portland goes back home last night, and they move on.
I am surprised. I am surprised the Thunder went down as quietly as they did in this series. And, you know, now they're done. But, man, OKC, you know, they got Paul George, they got Westbrook. I like Adams, their center, but Jesus, how do they lose in just 5 games? Another disappointing ending for OKC.
Yeah, for sure. So Portland will move on to take on the winner of the Spurs and Nuggets, which is like the one series that could go 7.
Yeah.
How much of Spurs Nuggets have you watched?
None. You know, here's the deal.
They keep getting buried on NBA TV. They Honestly, do. They were again last night.
They do. They do. And Denver for a second seed has not been, they have not been very dominant. And I'll put that on San Antonio because with the Spurs, with Pop, you know, he was going to give Denver a run. And some people even had San Antonio winning this series. But Denver's having problems moving out of the first round and having their difficulties here. But I have not seen a lot of the other first round games, mostly because the Brewers. I haven't seen a lot because the Brewers at nighttime, you know, I got the Brewer games on. And, you know, in the past when the Brewers were non-contenders, I get home and I got the NBA playoffs on from start to finish. But with the way the Brewers are, you know, they're contenders and they're must-see TV, I think, every night. Only other playoff series I've really watched was Boston, Indiana. And I saw Philadelphia play. Philadelphia last night getting up 24-2. I mean, that game was pretty much over in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, that one, the Toronto one was pretty much over. I think they were up 14-3 early. Yeah. And so, yeah, there were four games last night, and it was the one that you had to stay up for that was really entertaining. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Don't forget, it's an Ask Us Anything Wednesday. Send in your questions. If you're just joining us, we're going to do it in about 15 minutes. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. Any question you have for us, we'll try to answer here coming up in 10-15 minutes.
See, Bart, I think in the NFL, you get the wild card round I love because any one of those teams could still go to the Super Bowl. All right, Major League Baseball, the opening round, wild card round. Yeah, any one of those teams could go to the World Series. I feel like in the NBA, I feel like some of these teams, like the Clippers, Utah, even San Antonio. I don't feel any of those teams have a shot at winning a national NBA title. You know, it's going to be Houston and Golden State, one of those two teams advancing out of the West. So, and in the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn, you know, they won game one, and Orlando won game one of their series with Toronto. But let's face it, ultimately, those two teams are going to die anyway.
Well, I think right now, I think any team in the East could win the finals. I do. I think all the teams in the East are good.
Now, not that we get to this round.
Now that we're in the final four, I think any one of those teams, you know, they have a good series against Houston or Golden State. And that's going to be a really, really good series, you would think. I think that anyone could be, I, as much as I love the Bucks over Boston, and I really, really do, I do think Boston is a very good team, and they could win the finals if they got that far, if they got through the Bucks and then Philly or Toronto. I think Philly or Toronto, if they get past Milwaukee or Boston, I think they could win the finals. In the West, I'd say it's Golden State and Houston. You watched that celebration last night with Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers, and immediately my mind went to, wow, this is really cool for them. And then within like a split second, I thought, they ain't going to win no title. I mean, they're celebrating now because it's a cool moment. They're not getting past the Rockets.
No.
They're not getting past Golden State. They could get past Denver if it's Denver. They'll get past San Antonio if it's San Antonio. But your Western Conference final is really going to, for most of us, happen when Golden State takes on Houston. And then Portland's going to be like just kind of arbitrary.
And if Denver has got to play Golden State in the West Finals, I mean, that's not going to be much of a series. But, yeah, like the series is coming up between Golden State and Houston. That'll be for the right basically to go to the NBA Finals.
Well, here's one dilemma that I'm trying not to fall into this trap is that I very much dismiss Denver. I very much dismiss them. Sure, they have an all-world international star. Sure, they've got some good guard play. Sure, they've got some good veterans and a very deep bench. Sure, they've got a really good coach who could be coach of the year. Now, as you hear me say all that, I'm also sort of describing the Milwaukee Bucks. And when we're complaining about the national attention, that's how these people look at the Bucks. The same way you look at Denver, the same way you look at Denver playing the Spurs and you're like, who cares? The same way you look at Denver, how you won't take them seriously against one of these thoroughbreds like Houston or Golden State. That's how everybody else is looking at the Bucks against Boston or these other teams. Oh, it's Milwaukee. Just like we say, oh, it's Denver. So I try not to like rag on Denver too much because basically until the Bucks beat the Celtics or win a lot in these playoffs, The Bucks are the Eastern Conference version of Denver.
See, I don't feel that way. I feel there's more national people jumping on the Bucks bandwagon. I was listening to Chris Broussard talk last night. Says he likes the Bucks in five or six games.
Yeah, Broussard did it. Nick Wright has been very good.
Sounds like Skip Bayless, because he went to Bayless on the show last night. He said, Skip, I know you probably like Boston. He goes, no, I've liked Milwaukee all year. And not that we care what Bayless thinks, but Bayless sounds like he likes the Bucks in the series too. When usually he looks like he's, you know, anti-Wisconsin. No, Bart, I all the reading I've been doing the last couple of days, I think a lot of people like Milwaukee in the series. Too many people like Milwaukee, I think, in the series.
Really?
Yeah, I just hear people say, "Hey, the Bucks are gonna, you know, the Bucks are a good team. You know, they've, you know, their up-tempo play." Yeah, they won 60 games for a reason, man. They're a good team. And Broussard was saying this last night. What's their weakness? They go out and play hard every game. He said, you look at all these other teams. Philadelphia, they'll mail it in once in a while. Toronto will mail it in once in a while. Boston, you know, we know they're up and down season. But Milwaukee brings it every night. And he's right. The Bucks just bring it every night. How can you not like Milwaukee?
Yeah, I don't think they really have a weakness either. I think the Bucks. We talked about this yesterday. I'll continue to say it. I like the Bucks in five in the series.
Well, I don't see how you don't like, or anybody doesn't like Milwaukee. All right, I mean, if you're gonna look at last year's series, okay, but the Bucks are the better team.
Last year's series means absolutely nothing.
No, the Bucks are a better team.
You had Jason Terry. You had Tyler Zeller.
And
you had Joe Prunty was your coach. You got outcoached in most of their losses.
All right, well, you look at the coaching matchup right now, basically a wash between Brad Stevens and Coach Bud. All right, I know I'm going to take some criticism, but people will say, well, geez, Bud is way better than Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is a damn good coach. Don't discount him at all. So those two guys, obviously, Bud's a great coach, and so is Stevens. But this is a totally different matchup than it was a year ago. Kyrie out there, Hayward out there, the Bucks are better. Giannis is better, but the Bucks are a better team.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll see game one coming up this.
Yeah. Who says Boston's going to win the series?
I was watching PTI yesterday.
Those guys said?
They like Boston.
They do? Both guys did? Really?
I read some NBA.com stuff where it was Bucks. What they're doing, they're giving the Bucks a little credit because they're saying Celtics in seven. That when people say Celtics in seven, that means, okay, we'll give the Bucks a little credit for being the one seed.
Boy, the Celtics are going to come into Fiserv and win a game seven?
Do you see? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Do you see the Bucks losing four times to anybody?
I don't think the fans in Milwaukee would let Boston win a game seven.
No.
That place is going to be on fire. You know, the Bucks fans have got to make it so difficult, too, for these teams to come in here. Make it really difficult for these teams to come in here and win a game. Really. The fans are going to play a big part in this. Sure, the Bucks got to execute. But the fans have just got to make it just impossible for these teams to come in here and make it difficult on those visiting teams. That's what they got to do.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Again, we do not know when the Bucks are going to play. They could be playing within, as somebody mentioned here on Twitter, Maddie says, it's BS that the NBA won't release this information. They could play within 72 hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Celtics have to travel at some point to get here. You would think that the fans would want to know when this is going down. Now, we don't know when it's going to happen again. The latest game one will be is Monday. It's very likely that the series, because all the series in the East are over, it's very likely that it happens Saturday or Sunday. You would think the Bucks want it to happen on Saturday so they can make the most out of that entertainment block. And so the beer sales will be very, very good and very, very high. That's how we started the show with this poll question. Wanted to update it after 600 votes. Do you get drunk while watching sports? Because I am somebody that likes to go to games and then partake in beverages. And Chuck.
But you like to do it to an extreme.
Well, define extreme.
Well, you say you like to go to, you partake in beverages, one thing, but you like to get drunk at sporting events. That's what you're saying. The question
sure.
is drunk or not drunk?
Yeah, no, I'll be drunk. It's fun.
Okay.
It's fun to be drunk.
Well,
at the
games. Okay. All right. If you want to do it, that's fine. That's why the poll question's out there.
So, 600 votes. Do you get drunk while watching sports? Here's where we're at 3 hours into this poll. You can vote beer can emoji or no emoji. 50-50.
Well, that's not surprising.
50-50.
Again, I think most guys my age will say they prefer to watch a game not drunk. And then guys, you know, in their 30s or 20s will say, yeah, I'll watch a sporting event drunk. I want to remember the whole thing.
Brian says, define drunk. I mean, that's a yes vote. Bobby says, I enjoy watching sports, so not too sure drunk is the correct word. But I do like to relax with a few drinks and watch them for sure.
I feel drunk with you is losing your mind.
No.
Like, you know what? You're a bad drunk to be around.
No.
Okay. I haven't seen it firsthand, but that would be my prediction.
No, because I'm like bad to be around sober, so I'm good to be around drunk. Drunk Bart is just like tired drunk.
Okay.
Some people get drunk and they're like super fun, and you're like, wow, I wish this was this real guy's personality. And some guys are like really drunk and then they just want to fight everyone.
Yeah, you're not that guy.
I just want to eat toppers and go to bed.
Okay.
When I'm drunk.
So, but I mean, if you're going to get that drunk and where you're just, it's a downer for you, how could you get into the game?
No. That's where you think I get drunk. I like to just have a few, I like to have a few in me so I can feel a little more alive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the first thing I will say at my Alcoholics Anonymous meeting tomorrow night.
As long as it doesn't interfere with game one between the Bucks and the Celtics, which well, is Saturday or Sunday.
We don't know when the hell that is. Yeah. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. One thing I will never do is be drunk behind the wheel because I don't want to endanger anybody's life, including my own. It's illegal, and you should never, ever, ever, ever do that. I'm very serious about that. And the wheel that I have is the Santa Fe Sport that I got from Hyundai West Dallas a year ago from my man Sith Lord, who's been crushing it on Twitter. A lot of good videos lately. I'd love to play a bunch for you, but they are rated R, some close to borderline rated X. But he's one of the guys that you can meet over there. Mike, Anthony, Dan, a really good crew of guys that will make sure you get in a vehicle that you like. Hyundai's a great car. They've got a lot of good assurances, a lot of good warranties. But they also go above and beyond for you guys, listeners of this show and listeners of the station. They're big fans of sports. And so they're big fans of the station. And so they're big fans of you. And they want to make sure that with that common interest, they get you all the deals. The Sith Lord special, just ask them for that when you walk in there. Or any of the fine guys that work there. It is a really, really good crew that works there just off Highway 100 in West Dallas. Service needs, too. You got an issue with your car? You need an oil change? Maybe you didn't even buy your car from them. That's fine. That's a big misnomer I think a lot of people have, that you have to, if I have a Toyota, I have to go to a Toyota shop. You don't have to do that. In fact, I used to do that, and the place I went before this was, they were terrible. They charged me for stuff that I didn't need charged. They won't do that at Hyundai West Dallas. They just want to make sure you get in the right situation for your vehicle, and then they'll take care of your service needs as well. And you'll get discounts because you listen to the station. What's better than that? HyundaiWestDallas.com. You can browse there. You can also go check them out. Hyundai West Dallas off Highway 100 and Arthur. Still a few more minutes to ask us whatever the hell you want. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Use the hashtag AskCW. Ask Chuck and Winkler anything. We do it next.
Do you have any questions?
You've been sending your questions in all morning for Chuck and Winkler. And now it's time for some answers.
Just answer the question, please.
This is Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Next hour, Matt LaFleur is the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he has taken down all pictures of the old head coaches. And he painted things brighter in some areas. That's how detailed this guy's getting. We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. Also, the Milwaukee Brewers. Concerned or too early? Or both? You got to pick one. We'll do that next hour as well. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan. We do this every Wednesday at 8:45 or so. Ask us anything. You can still send in your questions. Tweet us at 1057FMTheFan with the hashtag AskCW. Still see some coming in as we're talking here. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath is your voice of your questions. They funnel through him. So if your question doesn't get asked, blame Horvy.
Horvy!
What's up?
Speaking of, I'm going to give KJ two questions because I, every once in a while, when he wasn't using the hashtag, I'd give him...
He wasn't using the hashtag.
So while it was on him, I do feel bad. He's one of my like 9 fans, so I'm going to give KJ some love today. He wants to know, Bart and Chuck, what is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you at the station or covering an event?
I walked into a visitor's clubhouse in the 80s with my fly open.
That's it? 30 years of covering sports? Well, I'm sure that's your worst one?
Well, I remember that. I mean, because people noticed. I have a bad habit of doing that, by the way. Still. Not, I mean, just not in the locker room, but anywhere.
Fly down, you mean?
Yeah, all the time.
Same here.
God, I got that issue. I feel like I'm 90.
That's why I wear sweats.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, Shannon's always got, but God, your fly's open. Yeah, it's a Freeman. It's a thing in the Freeman boys.
Selling hot dogs.
Our flies are always open for the wrong reasons.
You know, I would say mine is... The amount of times that I have, and I haven't done it lately, but the amount of times that I have done an interview while not recording anything,
yeah,
and then had to re-ask the guy to redo the interview. And they've always said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Logan Schaefer. I did an interview with him for the On Deck show, and then I had to like track him down. I go, hey, none of that recorded. Can you do it again? And he looked at me like, sure. And then we did it again. Same questions, same sort of spontaneity.
Now I'm sure Logan is at a point of his life where he'd do it over and over and over again because he's got nothing else going on.
All right, I don't know where he's playing, if he's playing at this point, the former Brewer, but that's happened a lot. You know the weird thing about, let's go pull back the curtain here on our job for a second. Because one thing that we do is this show, but then you'll also see us out at the ballpark. The three of us go there quite a bit.
Sure.
And we cover games. And so the pregame where council's talking, and you see that on Fox Sports Wisconsin, one of us are usually in that scrum. Afterwards, when council's at the podium, one of us are in that room. There's not like a good introduction with these people. It's like, I don't know if you have this, and I'm trying to relate this to the common, you know, your job too. Like, if you go to a meeting or if you work on a new project with people or if you go somewhere, aren't there like, hey, I'm Bart, I'm Rick, I'm Steve. You introduce everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you forget their name, but you at least go through that. With this sort of thing, it's just like you're thrown into the mess and then nobody talks to you for a year and a half because you got to, like, build up enough cred to be included in the pack.
Like, who, like, players don't talk to you or what do you mean?
The media scrum. Like, if I've never covered a Packer game, or I haven't in 10 years, if I go cover a Packer game, it's just kind of be me there, and then it's going to take like 2 years for me to be like, not even one of the guys. I'll never be one of
there's
the guys.
A couple,
but for them to just even acknowledge that I belong
There's a couple of guys who are that way, one of who you're a friend with, who treats these guys like Horvat, who haven't been around, like, you know, like they're dirt, which I think is wrong.
Only one comes to mind. Which I think everybody else has been really nice.
Which I
to
think
me.
Is
just
wrong.
One,
you know, some of these guys think that, you know, since they've been there and, you know, a new guy comes along, they're going to treat him like crap.
He's like the Doyle family, though. I got plans for him, but those will come later on.
Okay. Yeah, but Horvat's tight with Bob Uecker.
I did one thing, the most embarrassing thing.
You spent 45 minutes with him the other day, didn't you?
How about that one, folks?
Hold on, because actually you guys said something that was the most embarrassing thing that I've ever done. I want to know if you guys have ever done this, because I thought I was going to get tased when I did it.
Yeah.
So you get clubhouse availability, and then you go into the dugout to talk to council, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I ever go and do pregame, because I never got to do anything last year, I finally get sent there because everybody else had, I don't know, the measles or something. So I go in to do...
Harvey's always taking shots at his role at this station.
I go to
He's getting screwed.
I go to do the council interview, right? And I'm like, I have no idea how to get back up to the press box. So I go thinking I'm going to go in the same way that I came out or vice
Can't
versa.
Do that. No.
No. And they just... Everybody like runs over. They're like, where are you going? Clubhouse is closed. And I was like, I'm just trying to get back up to the press box.
Yeah.
So that was pretty embarrassing because then everybody stared at me and I still haven't really got over that. Now every time I'm like, I wait until like Holden's going back up and I like follow him to pretend like I know where I'm going.
How about that one, folks?
That's how we learn.
All right, one more from KJ. Bart.
That, by the way, I just got to be clear, that's from a Fox broadcast.
Yeah.
Not the flagship.
I was going to say, you guys are making me nervous.
I can play this.
How about that one, folks?
As much as I want.
What was the original question? The most embarrassing moment covering a game or in the sporting business?
Yeah, or at the station. Just, you know.
I'll say this one time. Back in first month of sports radio, back in 1994, it was a daytime radio station. And We went off the air at 4:30 in the afternoon because you have to go off at sundown. So the, you know, went off the air.
Great song.
And the microphones were all on. But apparently the microphones were all on. So I call a buddy from the studio because we were going to decide if we were going to take bet on the Badgers or Indiana game that day. So while we thought the station was off, I thought the station was off the air. The station was just winding down off the air because the transmitter was off, but it was still broadcasting. So here I'm on the phone. Yeah, boy, man, I don't think the Badgers can win in Indiana. I would take the -3 points. So we're going. I'm talking to this guy, you know, on a phone, and meanwhile it's being broadcast all over Milwaukee because I thought the power was turned off, and it wasn't.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing, like how long people will listen to radio even when it's not on the air. One time in Fond du Lac, our signal was down for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, and it finally came back on, and me as the DJ said, well, that was a new hit single called 24 Hours of Static by request.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, there's nobody listening right now. I'll tell you what, anyone listening, give me a call. I'll give you $5 to A&W. Phones lit up. I was on the phone for 30 minutes, and we had to, like, scramble to give these people their prizes.
Well, you know what it is? They probably kept the radio was still on, and they probably thought their radios were off because there was nothing coming out of it.
Nah, it was on. It was on.
So they were listening to nothing.
Had to fork over some money to cover that. Horvat!
Bart and Chuck, if you took on Carver High and Pharrell on the bench from CBS Sports Radio in a two-on-two competition, what sport would it be in?
Well, I mean, Pharrell seems to be... sound like he could take part in basketball, but I would say basketball.
Yeah, they took their ball and went home. They don't want to play with us.
Yeah, basketball. I think we beat them in a 2-on-2 basketball game.
All right, Sean wants to know if you were a pro.
I got a big fat elbow for your face, Henry Winkler.
I don't think you have anything to worry about.
If you were a pro wrestler, would you rather be ultra successful and famous with the fans, but you work stiff and the other wrestlers hate you for a 3-year run and have a bad life afterwards, or would you rather be a great jobber that puts everyone over and has a long career and enjoyable retirement? So would you rather be Randy Orton or Mick Foley?
Wherever I can earn the most money.
Yeah, exactly. Same here.
Where you can draw the most money.
This one's good. Mark wants to know, why did you get into radio, and when did you know that's what you wanted to do for a career?
Because I wanted to be honest, because I wanted to be able to go to games free.
That's, wow, well, really?
When I was a kid...
Jeez.
Went to a Bucks. No. When I was
okay.
The Bucks right. game. Went to a Bucks game. Went to the saw the front row of media.
It wasn't was like, your masterfulness of the English language
no,
that got you into
which
this job.
I've never mastered. No, and still will never have.
I got a pretty honest answer too.
Went down to the front row at a Bucks game, and I saw the media people had the best seats in the house. I was like, how did these people? Oh, my dad said, oh, you know, they went to college and they, you know, they were covering the game and all that. I'm like, man, this is the place I got to be. And so that's what it was.
So then,
I was like, sold.
Do you like radio, or you
love it?
You're still in this for the free stuff?
No. Of course, I love covering games, and no, absolutely.
But like this moment right now, this is just like secondary. This is the work part of your job, and then the fun part is the games.
No. It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good. No. But that's how I initially got into it.
Okay.
That's what he said.
No. I'm just making sure that over time you grew to like the actual thing you're doing.
No, I don't like getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But once, like when I'm here at 5:15, it's game on.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
It is Ask Chuck and Winkler.
Much
as
I hate you some days, it's still game on.
Sure. I believe Horvat wanted to chime in on this, Ryan Horvat.
Oh, no. I just saw one time I went somewhere with my grandparents, I saw one of the news anchors, Mark Giangreco, with this girl. And
Channel
I was like,
5 in Chicago.
Yeah, I was like, I need to do that for a career because she was this tall blonde and she was really hot. You guys go.
Mine would be that I've always wanted to do something where I could make up for the insecurity that I lived through for high school. So this gives me a platform to express myself and to be creative and to be somewhat entertaining, I would think. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to be humble. I know I'm entertaining. So this gives me that outlet to do that because growing up, I always had the need for attention. And now this is fulfilling that itch that I could never seem to scratch.
I feel like your life is a constant radio show. Isn't it?
How do you mean?
I mean, off the air, you're always throwing one-liners here and there.
Because I'm funny.
And I bet you back in high school, you were the same way.
It's okay to admit if you're funny.
I don't have any problem with that.
Some people don't think I'm funny. That's fine. So, I know I'm funny.
So, I mean, but
it doesn't matter when people come at me and say, you suck at your job. I know I don't.
Okay, did you?
So I don't care.
Want to get sports talk, or did you want to get, because you did news and you did morning disc jockey?
No, I'm still floating through sports talk. I just want to make jokes.
Oh, okay. So sports wasn't a passion.
Hey, how about this? I don't even watch the games. I just read box scores and articles on my way to work.
Been done.
I haven't seen a Brewer game in 5 years.
That's why you almost hit people in Hale's Corners at 5 a.m.
I'm just kidding. I love sports. This is a great job.
This is a great job.
One more?
Yeah, let's do a sports one then, because David wants to know, do either of you think Kyler Murray should be the first overall pick? He doesn't believe that he should be after only one season of college football. And he doesn't think he has a long NFL career ahead of him either. Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
Well, I mean, obviously time will tell on that, but I don't know. He looks pretty damn good for me. I'd take him as my quarterback right now if I didn't have Aaron Rodgers.
I think the Cardinals are screwing this whole thing up. Like, if you're going to take Murray, why do you still have Josh Rosen? Like, the closer you get to the draft, I think the lower the haul is that you're going to get for him, because now you know you need to get rid of him. 2 months ago, they could have got maybe a first-round pick for him. But now teams know they need to trade him if they're going to go draft Kyler Murray.
Well, I mean, if you're getting Kyler Murray, he's a starter. He's a starter right away. And, yeah, wouldn't you have traded Josh Rosen for, like, draft picks for this draft?
I would have thought so. I mean, what are you? Who are you fooling?
Yeah, I don't know.
The whole world thinks you're going to take Kyler Murray. And as Ross Tucker said earlier on our show, if you don't, why did you torture Josh Rosen for 2 months for no reason? It makes no sense.
I don't get it either.
We'll talk more draft, obviously, tomorrow. Michael Cohen will be back with us 7:20 a.m. from The Athletic. Real good piece that he wrote about where the Packers could target guys on defense. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow. Meanwhile, Matt LaFleur, his big first thing as the head coach is to take all the pictures of Holmgren and Sherman and McCarthy, take them down. And that wall needs a new paint job. Schemes, that will come later. Lambo got a makeover. Love that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.